hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I've got a lot of stuff to cover on today's two-hour radio spectacular because I've been really busy. I haven't done a lot of traveling, but I have been out at a trade show this week called the NBAA show, the National Business Aviation Association trade show. They got corporate jets, celebrities, and all this kind of, it's been quite crazy. You can hear all about it by checking out today's broadcast of Just Plane Radio, just aired a little while ago, and you can listen to it online at justplaneradio.com. However, there were some things that happened at the show that do cross over into what we're going to cover on today's edition of Scuba Radio. We'll get to that soon enough. However, before we do, I have my good friend on from Saba in St. Kitts, one of the crew members from the Caribbean Explorer 2 with Explorer Ventures. It's Tuna. He is on Scuba Radio via the web. How are you, Tuna?
I'm good. I'm in Florida, the Sunshine State, and it's been raining for 5 days now, so I don't know whether that's that's normal around here.
Yeah, sure. Well, you're in Florida. You're in our home state, our home country, and on holiday. You're actually, that's the thing that people are listening right now is like, wait a minute, this guy lives out in the Caribbean, a week in and a week out, gets to cruise around the islands of Saba, St. Kitts, Nevis, dive to his heart's content, and then on vacation he goes to Florida. You know how many people are listening right now and say, screw you, Tuna!
Yeah, it sucks.
Well, it's good to be you, is what you're supposed to say there. Even though evidently the sun hasn't broken out there in South Florida since you've been on holiday. But what are you doing? I mean, I guess we're finding out what you guys do when you go on break. Is that right or what?
Yeah, well, the first thing I do when I get off the boat is have a couple of ciders, liquor, because we can't drink on the boat. So have a couple of drinks and then I sleep. So I've had 5 days off the boat and I'm still sleeping a lot. So just resting because we work every day, as you know, on the boat.
Yes.
And you kind of get like real tired inside. So having a good rest, and then I'm planning to do some courses here. I'm in Fort Lauderdale, so we've got all the training schools. I'm planning on doing some courses, and then take it from there back on the boat at some stage. I don't know when because I get lots of time off. So. We'll see how things pan out.
Yeah, well, Tuna's been on the boat many times when we've been on our Scuba Radio Scuba Cruises. It's been several now, and he's kind of like a staple. It's cool to catch up with friends like that you see every time you go out on the boat, and whether he's working in the kitchen or working the dive deck or something, you've done a little bit of everything on the boat. So what kind of training are you doing there in Fort Lauderdale to make you more equipped when you go out next time?
Well, I'm still hoping to do my captain's course. I mean, it's a 2 week course, but I have to learn everything before I do it. So, I've got to get my head down in the books and just like memorize everything, and then I'll be able to hopefully be the one driving the boat as well as the cooking and filling tanks.
Yeah. Yes, now, is that the case? The captain of the liveaboard boat, does he have the best gig on the boat because he gets to direct everybody else, or is that just a matter of perspective there, Tuna? What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, when we do the crossings, I like to sit outside. I mean, we're up on the deck and underneath the stars, just, got the breeze. You know, so driving a boat is one thing, but, I like to be outside in the fresh air with myself. So, if I'm the captain, I can maybe give some orders. But, I like to be outside and under the stars, enjoying the fresh air, just chilling out with you guys.
Yeah, in the evening when they get a little break from the crew after dinner, Tuna's out on the deck, and you can tell you really enjoy this lifestyle of being out there week in and week out and just meeting new people and just enjoying the environment. I can tell you really kind of bubble over with that kind of, passion for your surroundings. And it's infectious. That's kind of cool. Do you find that a common thread with all the crew members that get into this live aboard dive business, or what do you think there, Tuna?
Well, everybody's different. I mean, I'm English, so, you know, I spent years in England freezing cold, you know. I mean, I used to dream of the day when I could just wear shorts all year round, so it took me a while to get out of England. But, you know, the last 10 years I've had a great time, so, you know, that's, for me, it's just not being so cold, you know, just being able to chill out and just hang out outside.
Yeah, so your upbringing, where you grew up, you know, I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, which is probably not that far from the weather conditions that you had in the UK where you grew up there outside of London, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right?
Yeah, well, a little way outside of London. Liverpool, that's where I'm from.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, but the weather is kind of crappy in the wintertime, and we would go on holiday down to Florida every summer, and I'd be like, hey, you know, we're going here every year. Why the hell are we doing this? Why don't we just live here if we like it so much? And so I kind of got this mindset early on that someday I was going to find a way to move to Florida and live here. And here I've been in Orlando for 20-plus years now. So that was kind of what you were thinking when you were growing up there in Liverpool and thought, hey, I'd go live in a place where I could wear shorts and dive and stuff all the time. Is that kind of how it went?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, when I started diving, I mean, I used to work as a chef, you know, and, you know, it's always warm in the kitchen. And that was one of the reasons I did the job, because it was always nice and warm.
Yeah.
And when I started diving, I just figured, you know, I could work as a chef, go somewhere where it's nice and warm. So, and if I work as a diver, then I could stay there and just, you know, be warm all year round. So that worked out okay for me.
Nice, nice. Now, what would you recommend this career path for somebody who wanted to make their passion for diving their profession? Or do you think it really does take a certain type of mindset to kind of get into this lifestyle that you live? What do you think?
Yeah, both those things. I mean, for me, diving, scuba diving, or working in yachts has got to be one of the most underrated professions. Absolutely, totally underrated. You know, the things that it gives you, the places you can travel all around the world. You know, you get paid to travel. It's just unbelievably underrated. But as you said, it does take a certain type of person to be working on boats, because I think if you saw that report yesterday, who's the guy, the actor, he put out that little thing saying working on boats is like being in prison.
Yeah.
because I mean, you're living in close quarters with people. You learn a lot about yourself, and it's a lot of things you have to give up in order to stay on the boat. But the flip side is, you know, you get to travel around the world and just have a great time. So, you know, it's a marvelous, marvelous thing. And any youngsters, I'd highly recommend they get into college and do marine mechanics or, you know, some kind of marine services. It just opens up the doors, really, to the whole world.
Yeah, well, no doubt. The travel is phenomenal. The scenery, you can't beat it for sure. And I would imagine, and I've said this before to some people that have come to me and asked, what would I recommend as far as an entry-level position into the dive industry? I was like, hey, go work on a liveaboard for a year or two, and you will experience every kind of problem or issue you could ever think of that would make you a better maybe dive shop owner or representative in the dive industry down the road. Are you with me on this as well, or what do you think?
Yeah, you get everything. I mean, you know, that you meet all the guests, obviously. You guys coming on the boat, the guests are people paying the money. Without the guests, there is no business, you know. So you get to meet all the guests, and you realize that it is a small industry. Everybody knows somebody who knows you or something like that.
Right.
You know, so it's a great, once you start getting a little feel for it, and you get used to some of the things that you don't have, then it's just a lot of fun, and it's a great career path.
Yeah, well, customer relations, obviously. You got to encounter all different types of personalities. I know we have pushed them to their limits when we come on their boat. And but you got to deal with everybody, and that's part of running a business and that kind of thing. So, you know, whether you use that as an entry level into running your own dive shop or something down the road, obviously you end up being exposed to a lot of different types of equipment, because week in and week out people bring different types of gear, and you see this and learn about that. So I don't know. I think it's a great entry level position, or just something you want to do as a career for sure. If you get into it and you feel that this is your thing, and obviously that's worked out quite well for Mr. Tuna, as we like to call him there at Explore Adventures. Well, Dave, thank you so much. Good to hear from you again, and you're going to stay connected with us here throughout the next year or so. We'll check in periodically. That sound like a plan or what?
Cheers, yeah. Nice speaking to you, Greg, as always.
You got it, buddy. All right, more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Deepwater Cay in the Bahamas has been a bone fishing paradise for over 50 years. However, what has been bringing world-class anglers and Hollywood stars to this private island paradise is also quite impressive underwater. So after a multi-million dollar renovation, Deepwater Cay now offers scuba diving to their long list of water sport activities. It's an all-inclusive out-island experience with unspoiled diving, easy access to the States, and exceptional food and accommodations. Treat yourself like the star you are at Deepwater Cay. Go to deepwaterkay.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Truly lurks beneath the sea. What mystery awaits?
We belong to the sea, to the waves, you and me. Living in the ocean so blue.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. You know, we got a lot to cover on today's show, but I kind of got to, you know, I got to go back to some viewer mail that I got while I was working this aviation show this week. And, you know, we get this periodically on the show where I'm taken to task for something I've said or something I've done. God knows there's many mistakes I've made over the years doing this goofy little show. And I don't know if this is a mistake as much as it's maybe a potential oversight. And it has to do with our Scuba Radio mermaids. And, you know, we love them. We use them at dive shows to be our ambassadors to the underwater world. Works on many levels. Little girls seem to like it. Mom seemed to dig it from a princess standpoint. And, of course, the guys don't seem to mind when they see these 20-something girls in mermaid outfits representing Scuba Radio and acting as our underwater ambassadors. However, every once in a while, I get this question from the opposite sex, and they say, "Hey, Greg, where's the merman?" And, you know, I always throw this back at him, and I say, "Well, what am I, chopped liver? I'm not a merman, but I am a guy." But evidently, I don't rate, and that's how Rochelle feels, who's connected with us via the web right now. Rochelle, welcome to Scuba Radio. How are you?
Doing good today.
So you would like us to have mermen? Is that what you're trying to say, or were you kind of half joking? Or I just don't rate as an ambassador for the underwater world in that area, or what? What do you want? What can I do to please you?
It was partially in joke. It was one of those things. Hey, you've got mermaids, why not mermen?
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, all right. And I understand. It's just we should be an equal opportunity offender is what you're saying, kind of. Maybe.
Sure.
All right, just throw out the man-meat, right?
Well, you know, some of us ladies, you know, you see this nice guy, the nice sculpted six-pack. You know, it does make your heart go pitter-pat.
Right. Okay, so you've seen pictures of me is what you're saying? No. And she laughs.
No, I haven't actually seen pictures of you.
Okay, all right. Well, she's laughing, which is the typical response I get when I bring that up. But, all right, well, I'll see what I can do. I don't know. We've actually had mermen before, but that's usually happened after, you know, the cocktails started flowing at one of these dive shows, and some guy stumbled down the aisle and said, "Hey, LA, put on one of them mermaid outfits. Woo!" But I don't think that's what you're looking for. Yeah.
No, that's similar to a rednecks we have in the area. Hey, hold my beer. Watch this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it makes for great radio and just a great little, scene, but not necessarily what you're thinking of from the standpoint of mermen. And I'll see what I can do. I can't promise you anything, but I'll work on that accordingly. Now, you mentioned that you're in kind of a rural part of the U.S., Extreme Scuba Sports, that's your dive shop? Is that the deal or what?
It's Extreme Sports Scuba. Okay. We're located in Joplin, Missouri.
What kind of diving do you have there?
We have basically freshwater diving here.
Okay.
We have four lakes and what we call the White River Chain. It starts off with a Beaver Lake, which is the main lake most of the diving's done in this area. Then we have Table Rock Lake, Bull Shoals Lake, and Lake North Fork. And these lakes are right there basically along the Missouri-Arkansas border.
Other than the freshwater scenery, which I imagine it's quite picturesque topside, what can a diver expect to see underwater? Are we talking like a lot of freshwater fish, mermaid? I don't know. What do you got underwater there?
Well, we do have a lot of freshwater fish. We have different varieties of catfish. We have your small and largemouth bass. We have stripers. We have crappie. We have perch.
Mm-hmm.
I make it a point, being a dive master with the shop, to always take some hot dogs with me. And it kind of helps the students relax, and I'll start while I'm feeding the fish. It helps them relax and kind of get a little more used to the water.
All right. So you have a hot dog down there when you're a little hungry for the fish or for you, both? Well, it just depends on the day, I guess, right?
It depends on the day, and it depends on how many students we're working with, whether I get to eat lunch or not.
Yeah, well, you got these catfish down there. Are you doing this noodling thing? I mean, you don't really need a hot dog. Can't you just use your toes? I've seen this stuff on, like, Discovery Channel. Are they doing that where you're at or no?
Some guys, they do have a noodling season where you can actually take a scuba tank and go down and noodle on scuba.
Really? But do you guys do that at your shop, with your shop, or not necessarily? That's more of a private thing, I guess, or what?
It's more of a private thing, yeah. None of the actual people within the shop do it.
Okay. You guys prefer to noodle with hot dogs. A little less, I don't know, you don't hurt yourself as much using those, I guess. And then plus, you have a nice little snack during your surface interval if you don't use them all, right?
Right.
Nice.
Right.
So what are other type of things do you guys do? Is there an extreme component to what you guys offer there in Missouri or what?
What we offer and what we have is they also have some within the shop. There's also they have some kayaks, and they do kayak trips that they're just getting started and working with.
Okay, so you do a little bit of outdoor adventure sports on top of the scuba diving offerings you have in the area.
Right.
Yeah.
they just started doing scuba diving from kayaks, which is a nice, unique twist on the whole deal.
Very good.
But, I know we had our underwater pumpkin carving this last weekend. Yes, we actually take pumpkins, which are very buoyant, and sink them and carve them underwater.
A lot of people listening right now are asking why. Why do we do this activity? I don't know. When did this catch on? Because it is very popular all across the country. You think just divers at this time of year, you're like, hey, how can we do something a little different? And we're bored, you know, and let's take a pumpkin underwater. How did it start for you guys?
The shop's been doing it for about 15 years. It was just one of those things, hey, let's give this a try, see how it works out. It's a great promotional thing within the shop. The shop donates gift certificate prizes, and of course there's an entry fee. And we have, while we're have the pumpkin carving going on, we also have a raffle up on the shore. And at this time of year, our dive shop works real closely with our local rescue team in starting getting fundraising going for our Christmas for Kids.
Aha. So you just make it a nice little charity event. I don't know. How do you judge your pumpkin carving? Is it a speed thing? Is it a design thing? Or are there several different categories or what? What are you guys doing in that regard?
We have a category for those 15 and under. So, you know, because they usually have an adult to help them. And, of course, as junior divers, they have to have an adult with them. And then we have the adult group, and they're judged. Everyone who's carved a pumpkin gets a ballot, and the pumpkins get numbers, and they go down and judge, you know, which pumpkin they think is the prettiest, which is the ugliest, which one put the most effort to.
Got it. So you have a few different categories. All right, hold the line, Rochelle. We're going to figure out a way to solve this merman issue and actually learn some real constructive dive stuff, too. And that's next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. On the line with me is Rochelle from Missouri. And once again, the dive shop is Extreme Scuba. What is it?
Extreme Sports Scuba.
Extreme Sports Scuba. ExtremeSportsScuba.com. You can go there and check it out. You got a pumpkin carving contest. You got freshwater fish to dive with and all that kind of stuff. And as far as the categories for the pumpkins, it's the ugliest, it's the prettiest pumpkin. You guys just have several different categories, and it all helps a good cause.
It
lends itself to a charity that you guys work with. And like right now, you're on call for some kind of rescue diver thing or something. Is that the case?
I work as a paramedic.
A paramedic. Does that incorporate any diving skills as well, or not necessarily? You're just out there answering calls.
I'm just out there answering calls, but when I go, I'm kind of the on-site. When we are at dive functions and things like that, I'm the on-site first aid person type thing.
Got it. Well, you know what? You may have to join us at some of these dive events where we have our Scuba Radio Mermaids, because many times we have had them on display, and the guys walking by have needed, some kind of life support. You hear what I'm saying? It kind of sends them into some arrhythmia or something that can't possibly be healthy. It's fun to watch.
You know, it's one of those things. Oh, look what he did. Oh, yeah, he needs help.
Exactly. Yeah, we all need help. You know, men are pigs. What are you going to do? But we'll have to work on this merman thing. We have to be in a mermaid tail to actually appease you guys. Is that what you're trying to tell me now? Really?
It'd be interesting to see you guys try to swim with a mermaid tail.
That image is disturbing to a lot of people listening right now. You hear what I'm saying, Rochelle? You got to be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But if you're one of those ladies that they see you and they just pass out, then maybe it's worth putting the mermaid tail on.
Okay, now she's just taking me on. But from experience, I know that just won't work.
Yeah, Greg, I'd not necessarily want to see you in a mermaid tail.
Oh, yes, nothing like another listener calling in. Boost my confidence. Eh, I'm used to it. Got a thick skin. It's almost like a wetsuit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm good. But anyway, thanks, Rochelle. We appreciate it. And I promise not to put a mermaid tail on anytime soon. We got a Dan tip next and more. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Radio safety tip number 34. The logging of your dives in the presence of the endangered spotted owl is considered insensitive to some environmentalists.
Liar, liar, plants for hire.
It's pants on fire, Patrick.
Well, you would know, liar.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the Real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And here with us today, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. It's really good to see you, buddy.
Hey, good to see you too. How have you been?
Lonely.
Do I even want to ask?
It's my dive buddies, or rather lack of them lately. Seems like everyone's busy or our schedules won't coordinate. It's getting really hard to put some dives together.
Sounds like you need some more dive buddies.
Well, you're a social guy. You got any tips on how to do that?
Phew, don't I always? There are a ton of ways to find new dive buddies. Shoot, in this day and age, it's never been easier to connect with people.
You're going to make me Twitter, aren't you?
You make it sound so cruel. No, you don't have to tweet, but there are lots of dive websites now dedicated to connecting divers looking for buddies, as well as mainstream sites that connect folks with similar interests. They can be handy, whether you're looking for buddies in distant locations or closer to home. You may want to think about checking them out.
Distant locations?
Well, some folks travel on their own and may need buddies when they get to their destination. I've even heard of divers logging on who are planning to move and want to start lining up buddies before they get there.
What if I don't want to go online and go old school instead?
Then there are even more options.
Starting with
the center of it all, your local dive shop. Going down your local dive shop is a great way to meet people, find divers with similar skill levels and interests, and just all around make new friends.
I find that when I teach, a lot of classmates tend to be buddies as well.
Exactly. Classes are an excellent way to meet potential dive buddies, especially if you're not taking the class with an established buddy. You figure classmates are likely to be at a similar skill level as you and almost certainly have similar interests. The only thing left to figure out is whether you're compatible and get along.
I did a speaking gig at a dive club not too long ago, and I heard a lot of divers there making plans to go diving together.
Dive clubs are another great way to go. They're a lot like classes in that you're definitely sharing space with active divers who are as interested as you, maybe even more so. You may find that as you meet fellow dive club members, you'll meet divers who will introduce you to new types of diving or increase your skill level.
Any suggestions on how to find a dive club?
Same way you find a buddy. Go to the dive shop, talk to other divers, go online.
Okay, so let's say you meet a whole team of new divers. How do you know which ones will make good buddies?
Well, it's like making any new friend. Just takes time to figure things out. Your first clue comes with the conversation you have with them. If you're not enjoying it, you're probably not going to enjoy diving with that person. But if you're hitting things off when you talk, make a plan to try things out as buddies. It can even be as simple as going to the local pool together to see how it goes.
What would you say is the most important thing about establishing a new dive buddy?
Comes down to communication. No doubt about it. Can't stress it strongly enough. And it doesn't matter whether it's the first time or the millionth time that you've been diving together. Communication is the key. Establishing goals, planning the dive, reviewing hand signals and emergency plans, it all comes down to communication.
Sometimes people are shy about asking too many questions when they don't know a person well.
And I can really appreciate that, but it's a mistake when it comes to diving. Nosiness can equate to safety in diving. If you're in the water with someone, you have a responsibility to them, just as they have a responsibility to you. If you don't know them well, ask as many questions, be as detailed in the plans that you make, and be as thorough in your reviews as you need to be in order to be comfortable and safe.
And I'd say get ready for turnabout to be fair play.
Absolutely. Be prepared to share the same information you're asking of your buddy. If you're just getting to know each other, it's important that your buddy feels just as comfortable as you do.
Are we forgetting anything?
Just remember to be patient. Remember that when you're diving with someone new, especially if you're used to diving with a particular person, it takes time to get to know them. New people, new habits, new approaches, it all takes time to get to know each other. Time is a corner that you can't cut. So be patient. As long as you feel safe with your buddy, give it a chance. It doesn't have to go perfectly the first time to become a really good dive partnership.
Don't let busy schedules and lack of common interest be your buddies. Go out and find some dive buddies. They're out there just waiting to meet you, and there are a lot of ways to find them. Take a smart approach and the time to know them, and before long, you'll have a whole logbook full of buddies just waiting to share an adventure. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
We are back here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and I just got back from the NBAA show, as I mentioned earlier, and we're going to get into some other side stories that kind of cross over between diving and flying. But I got Dennis. Some people know him as Dennis. Some people know him as Lots of Gadgets or God knows what other kind of names from our Scuba Radio chat room and just, things that he's done in the past on the show. But he's on the line because he is a, you know, your passion is not only for diving but for flying too. Right, Dennis?
That's correct. I've been flying since 1988.
So that you were flying before you started diving, am I right?
That's right. Yeah, that's correct.
And so what basically I saw this week, I thought you could relate to, because one of the planes on display, I think, was the ultimate flying dive platform. This was a Viking Twin Otter, which is a relatively large plane or a seaplane on floats. You know, it's a plane on floats. And this thing was huge and it could handle like 15 people or maybe like 10 people on a bunch of dive gear. You throw them in the plane, fly to some remote reef site out in the Caribbean and dive to your heart's content. Now, after you dive, I'm not sure what you're going to do because you got to stay kind of low to, because of the altitude issues we have to deal with. However,
I think if you stay under 1,000 feet, they don't consider that a pressurization issue. So, yeah. You know, and what are you going to hit at less than 1,000 feet over the open ocean coming back to shore?
Waves, maybe, if it's bad
maybe.
Weather.
Yeah. Well,
but you know what? Yeah, you could work it out. Like you said, there's ways to accommodate any of those issues by just staying a little bit low on your altitude. But look, this plane was not only on floats, Dennis. It had a mural of whales, like killer whales, sperm whales, humpback whales, dolphins. It just had a whole marine mural painted on the side of this airplane.
Did our good friend Weiland get a hold of that?
You know what? It looked like a Weiland type of piece of art or, you know, Guy Harvey type-esque marine, you know, marine art. But it wasn't. It was some other artist that I guess has, you know, aviation in his blood and decided to do this custom paint job for the owner of this particular plane. But I'll tell you what, man, is that your kind of plane that you want to get to so you can combine your diving and flying type of adventures or what?
It might be a little bit out of my price range. I mean, that's a twin-engine turboprop, and I think it's certified for single-pilot operations.
But it is, but so. It's, you know, it's only 7 mil. Well, it's 7
only.
Mil plus about 750 for the pontoon or for the float. So you're just under 8 mil. And, you know, in your new gig that you have working on computers and things, that's like chump change, isn't it? Come on.
Sure. Yeah. Right here in Minneapolis is actually Whipline Aircraft. They're the folks that make the Whipline floats that you see on the Cessna Grand Caravans. And,
oh, okay.
You know, those are amphibious floats, and they're made, you know, maybe 20 miles from my house here. So we see a lot of Whiplines in this area. You know, those can be got on a caravan for probably less than $2 million.
Right.
But even that's still out of yours and my budget, I think.
Well, hey, speak for yourself. Actually, you are speaking for both of us.
But actually, I've heard you have to borrow Ed's credit card, don't you?
I have to borrow Keith's credit card. Ed's credit card has been
maxed out
years ago. Yeah, and however, I did talk to the owners there of Viking, and I talked to them, and I said, look, if I throw in like a hat or something, a free T-shirt, you know, knock off a mill or two, and they, of course, said no. So you're probably right. It's probably a little bit out of the price range. But, man, would that be the ultimate way to dive? And I mean, have you heard of anyone doing this where they're flying people out on these seaplanes and doing some remote diving off of the East Coast or West Coast of the United States?
You know, I haven't heard of anybody actually trying to dive out of them. You know, I just some of my experience was actually working for a float plane charter operation up in northern Minnesota, and we had a Super Cub on floats, a Cessna 180, and also a de Havilland Beaver, which is a smaller version of that Twin Otter. It was a single 400 horsepower radial engine up front, but we could load that thing up until the spreader bars touched the water and still take off. So the payload was there, and you could carry about six or eight people. It was, a single engine might be a little bit more cost effective to get into a Beaver.
Well, you know, they had one of those on display right next to this Twin Otter. They had one of these Beavers. And, it wasn't on floats, this particular one. It was just on tires and looked like kind of like an off-road type of plane. Could put floats on that. It might be a little bit more economical. But the thing is about the Twin Otter, about this Viking Twin Otter, is that it could carry a massive payload. These things are extremely popular for commercial charters throughout the Caribbean and the Pacific, from island hopping connections and things like that. So I'm thinking it would be the ultimate thing for a dive group. All right, Dennis, hold the line. We got more flying and diving. Well, we're not combining the two, but we'll talk about them next. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook. The evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
It's ocean madness, all right. Sailors call it aqua dementia. The deep down crazies, the wet willies, the screaming moist.
You're an ocean, you're an ocean. Settle down, settle down. What's a commotion? I'm an island, but you're an ocean. Stormy sea of love and emotion. You got me suspended motionless in time.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I'm talking with Dennis. Lots of gadgets in the Scuba Radio chat room. However, he has a passion not only for diving, but for also flying. And he started this long before I did. You know, we do this other show called Just Plain Radio. I was at the NBAA show. And Dennis kind of connects to both shows quite a bit because he was into the whole flying thing before he got into the diving thing. I'm kind of doing it in reverse and maybe picking up a tip or two from Dennis as I progress through my flight training and that kind of thing. However, my goal ultimately is to set up a situation where I can fly to some remote places in the Caribbean, maybe the Florida Keys out of our home base of operations here in Orlando, Florida, and be able to get to more places, more unique places that the domestic air carriers don't fly anymore, and to be able to broadcast scuba radio from these places out on the water. And it could be a seaplane. And that's actually how your diving career yourself started. Is that right, Dennis?
That's right. I actually used to work at a small airport right on the shore of Lake Superior, so I was surrounded by the lake, and I was going to college at the time, and that's how I transitioned from being a pilot to a scuba diver.
So when you were learning to fly, you saw all this water around you and figured, hey, you know, this is kind of fun being up topside, flying above the lake and all that kind of thing and landing on it, but hey, what's down under there? You just got curious and decided to give it a go, or what?
Well, having lived in Duluth all my life, there's a lot of history with the Great Lakes for shipping, and there's always the stories of the shipwrecks, and you know, there's a whaleback steamer that was actually sunk just before the turn of the 1900s, and that was supposedly only about 3 miles offshore, and you know, we all knew about it. We knew the history and the story. And I always wanted to go see that wreck. And, you know, that scuba diving seemed like a great way to get there. You just have to deal with the cold Lake Superior water. But I did finally get on that shipwreck several years later. And I've made, I think, 3 dives now on that wreck and sitting in 60 feet of water within view of downtown Duluth, Minnesota.
Okay, so it's relatively close to shore, just a short little boat trip. Have you ever been tempted to fly one of those seaplanes out there just for the fun of it, or no?
Oh, I actually used to go with several friends from the airport, and we'd go circle over and fly over that all the time. But to actually go land in the middle of Lake Superior with the, you know, being kind of an unprotected water with potentially big waves was never something I wanted to go try.
Yes. So when you were doing the seaplanes there, what were they just taking off along the coast where the seas were more consistently calm, or what?
Right along the shore of Lake Superior is actually a peninsula of land that actually separates the St. Louis River from Lake Superior. And so all the seaplane operations are actually done in the river basin, about a quarter mile from the open water of Lake Superior. So even if, 30-mile-an-hour winds with, 20-foot seas on Lake Superior, just, a quarter mile on the other side of that island, you've got flat calm. So made it very convenient for the seaplanes to get in and out. And we would have twin otters coming in from the Canadian Forest Service occasionally. We had Beechcraft 18s that were owned by a business that they used them to bring business associates up to a lodge in Canada. Mm-hmm. We had just small Cessnas and Pipers and Cubs that were just recreational. People would take their planes, fly up to Canada to go fishing. Lots of just people just out having fun with their planes.
Well, there you go. And I do see, some ways to do that myself eventually. I actually have seen a company out exhibiting at the Long Beach Dive Show, the scuba show out there in Long Beach, where they were, I believe, taking divers out via helicopter off the West Coast someplace and dropping them on a dive site fairly off, far offshore and doing that type of thing out of a helicopter. And then, and I've talked about this in the past before, that the ultimate giant stride entry would be out of an airplane, like skydive. That kind of thing. And they've done that already. Have you seen that on YouTube?
The Navy SEALs have been doing that for years.
Well, yeah, but that's not the same. They're professionals. I'm talking about some schmo just thought it would be a dumb idea. One of those GoPro videos are out there online now, and they literally have jumped out of an airplane wearing scuba gear. They skydive into the water and dive directly, go right down as soon as they hit the surface. Actually, they cut the chute before they even land, so he kind of, the last 5 feet, he kind of, free falls into the water and goes down and dives down to like 50 feet, and they film the whole thing with a GoPro camera, And I'm thinking, hey, I could do that. And then I look at it, I'm like, that's insane. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to get a plane, eventually get to some remote places, and sit on the pontoon of my seaplane and just kind of ease off into the water real gently. I just think that would be the ultimate way to dive, especially some remote places out in the Caribbean that'd be tough to get to, with time limitations and just access. You hear what I'm saying?
Well, exactly. Even it doesn't even have to be remote Caribbean. Just think about the Pensacola, Florida. It's a 2.5-hour boat ride when I went out to the Oriskany. Don't get me wrong, it was a fantastic ride both in and out, but that's, 5 hours of your day is just getting to and from the wreck.
Yeah, that would be pretty interesting for the other people diving the wreck in the area to come up from their safety stop, and they look for their boat, and they're, holy crap, there's a plane.
There's a twin otter.
Yeah, used to be just worried about getting up on the right boat. Come up on a seaplane would be kind of an eye-opener for sure. Well, I don't know. We got a lot of things on our bucket list we got to mark off. Right, Dennis?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. We got another hour of Scuba Radio to go. Stick around. We're just getting started right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Each little snail here know how to whale here. That's why it's hot under the water. Yeah, we get lucky down in the muck under the sea.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.